All right. Hey, can we get a Bible in your hands right away? If you don't have one, we'd love to get you one. If you forgot it, just go ahead and put that hand up and somebody's going to come around. You're going to need to leave that hand up for a minute. Somebody's going to come around and get you that Bible. When you get it, would you open up your Bible to, let's start in 1 Corinthians. Actually, let's start in Revelation, okay? So Revelation, the end of your Bible, around chapter 21. But if you'll leave a mark in your Bible at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So those are the two places we're going to be, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 20. Yeah, I'm sorry. No, Revelation chapter 21. And there is no chapter 21 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 21 of Revelation and then chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Did I say all that right? Okay, good. We'll see as we go if we figure that out. Okay, good. And so we're going to be in these two places in Scripture. And you know, just to give you a little bit of background of where we've been lately, we've been doing this series called Hope for Hard Times. And we went through the whole book of Habakkuk. But then we said, you know, we really need to talk about the real end of the story. Like what's it going to be like in heaven, in this new creation, in this new earth? And really, frankly, most of my preaching typically is about living for God here. And I just felt like, you know, it was time that we really talked about what is heaven going to be like? And because it gives us so much hope, right? When we know that there is an absolutely beautiful end to the story, it gives us hope to get through anything that we're going through right now. And so we started talking a couple weeks ago. This message is a continuation of a message we had a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, we started talking about the beauty of our heavenly home and what it's going to be like, this new creation, this new heaven and new earth and where we're going to be living, okay? And so, for instance, let's just do a little bit of scriptural recap on that. Revelation chapter 21, John's description of this new heaven and this new earth, this heaven we're going to be existing in as followers of Christ. Chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, this creation that we're currently living in, passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he, God, will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Here's one of my favorite verses of scripture, verse 4. He, God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Everything new. There's this beautiful new creation that's ahead of us. This new heaven and this new earth is very different than what we're currently living in. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the rest of chapter 21 and just a beautiful description of the new heaven and new earth. And today I want to answer probably a deeper question, because I think most of us will agree that, yeah, we already kind of had a picture of a really good heaven. Like we all thought that, you know, all of our picture, we just believed it would be beautiful. That probably wasn't a lot of new information to you. But the big question that's out there really is, but what am I going to be doing there? What am I going to do? And maybe even more pointedly, am I going to get bored after a couple months? Right? Like, is it going to be just like, what am I? I don't know. Am I just going to be, we all kind of have some, there's just a lot of like weird, almost depressing views of what we'll be personally doing in heaven. What are some of those weird kind of depressing views? What are some of those that you think people have in their mind? Just go ahead and yell it out. Playing a harp, right? Everyone's got that, right? But all three of you said you're playing a harp. How long can you play a harp before you get bored, right? I mean, after a couple of days, you're like, man, I hate this harp, right? What else? What else? What? Playing golf? Did you say? What did you say? You said playing golf? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were kidding. Cause that would be hell for me personally. But, yeah. So this is kind of like, yeah, like imagine like hole like 5,061. Like, I can't believe I'm still playing golf. Like is this going to be so incredibly, that would be so boring. So what are we going to do? And Frank, you know, just Great. The Bible gives us really good news that it's not the endless game of golf, right? It's not endlessly playing the harp. Sorry for, it's not. but it's going to be way, way better than that, right? Way better than that. And some of the things that we're going to be talking about. Well, first of all, let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Because first things first, if we're going to be living in this new creation, this new heaven and this new earth, we're going to actually need, the Bible tells us, we're actually going to first need to be fitted with a new body that's suitable for that new creation. Yeah, I know. Amen. Right on. Right. A new body. That sounds really good. Right. A new body that's like totally set for. So let's just take a look at what the description of our bodies are going to be like. Check it out. 1 Corinthians. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here we go. Chapter 15, verse 40. Says there are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. So they're different kind of bodies, right? The sun and the moon is one kind of, the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another, the stars are different from stars in splendor. So will it be here. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown, the one that goes into the ground, the body that you and I are in right now, is sown perishable. It is raised imperishable. The new body that we're going to be fitted with is going to be imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. The body that we have right now is dishonorable in some ways in comparison to the glorious body that we'll have. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Our new body is going to have this unique capacity, unique power, unique honor. It'll be sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Just as real as we have a natural physical body right now, there is going to be a resurrection body for you and me. We're going to have an actual body, but there's going to be it's going to be very, very different than the body that we're currently in. Amen, right? The body that we're currently in, it's suited for a creation that is perishing, right? Our whole universe is decaying and we've got bodies that are perishing. Your body has a shelf life. My body has a shelf life. It is decaying. And the older I get, the more I'm realizing that, right? Aging, man, it is a bear. <It's>, right? Like when I was a teenager, to get out of bed, I would just like hop out of bed. And I'd be like, oh, well, I'm just going to go chase the night out. You know, now getting out of bed is painful, right? Getting out of bed, it's like the worst part of it. Like it's slow and it's a process. Like I go from laying down, I'm just totally stiff and sore. And I have to first go to the sitting position on the edge of the bed and just let things kind of fall into place, right? And then I kind of get up like this and I walk over to get some pants, you know, and I get the pants and I'm faced with my hardest decision of the day, right? Right? Do I bend over more or lift my leg higher to get, and I'm like, it's a lose-lose because they're both incredibly painful, right? And I finally get the pants on and walk over to the coffee maker. Aging is just hard. And listen, we're perishing. You're perishing. I don't care how hot you think you are, okay? I don't care. Maybe you looked in the mirror this morning, you're like, my hair's looking good today, right? Brian, your hair's looking good today, all right? And you got it going on, girlfriend, right? And I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You are decaying. You are. You are decaying. Just turn to the person next to you and go, sorry, you're decaying. Good. Yeah, right? You are. You're decaying. And guys, I know younger guys, you're thinking, this is never going to happen to me. Listen, there's coming a day, guys, dudes, right, where you're actually going to be finding the store that sells the old man pants, right, with the really big zipper so you can hike them up, like, up to here. Right? Like, right? And women, all you women are laughing. Blah, blah, blah. Women, your hair is going to be blue one day. It is. Just deal with it. It's going to be you because we're living, right? We're living in a universe that is wearing out. We are living in a body that is wearing out. We are sown perishable. This body is perishable. It is wearing out. It's got a shelf life, but one day, God is going to fit us with a resurrection body that's imperishable. See, because that's what's fitting for the new creation. Because in the new creation, the whole process of decay isn't going to be happening. That's all part of the fallen creation. That's why Jesus says things like, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not what? destroy, the decay, the whole process of decay just isn't taking place in the new creation. And so we need to be fitted with bodies that are imperishable for an imperishable creation. It's going to be awesome, right? Imperishable. And it's also going to be more glorious and powerful than our current bodies. Look again, chapter 15, verse 43. Chapter 15 and verse 43. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43 says this. It is sown in dishonor. There's something almost like dishonorable about our bodies, but they're raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. And when we think about it, if we're honest about our own bodies, right? There's just stuff about our own bodies that just we hide because it's like, I don't want anybody. I mean, just warts, corns, hemorrhoids, back hair, fat, bad breath, toe fungus, right? I mean, you just keep going on, right? There's just stuff that's just dishonorable, isn't it, right? You're like, what are you, right? But raised in glory, right? No more toe fungus, bad breath, back hair, whatever, you know, just like raised in glory. Our bodies are going to be infinitely different. And sown in weakness, raised in power. Our bodies, they're weak. They're prone to, I mean, how many of you are fighting with allergies right now? Right? You're prone to allergies. How many of you have somebody in your family with the flu? Right? A couple of you, right? Like constantly, we're always fighting something in our bodies because our bodies are weak. But we're going to have this resurrection body. It's going to be imperishable. The process of decay isn't going to be happening to our bodies. It's going to be more glorious than our current bodies, and it's going to be uniquely powerful. We're not going to have to be fighting off all these diseases and things attacking the body. And here's the thing that I think is really interesting. I really owe a lot to Gary Sutliff, our chairman of the board, to help me understand this kind of thing. Because the picture we have of a resurrection body, the only picture that we have is the resurrection body of Jesus Christ, right? And it says in Philippians chapter 3, it says this, who Jesus, by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Yeah, right on. Right? Like we're going to actually have a body, this resurrection body. It's going to be like the body of Jesus' glorious resurrected body. And do you remember some of the stuff that Jesus did when he rose from the dead? Remember the stuff? Like all of a sudden he's talking to people and then he's gone. He vanished. Like, what? How did that happen? Right? And then there's these, you know, apostles in this upper room and the door's locked and they're freaked out and all of a sudden Jesus appears. Like, how did that happen? Right? And then he wants to eat something with them. Like, okay, so he's got this body, but what? It's like it had to be so. His glorious body was different. It was actually functioning in a different dimension, right? It's just a totally different dimension than we're able to function in, right? And here's how Gary has helped me understand this. I just think this is fascinating. Gary's done a whole bunch of work on hyperspace and its implications on biblical interpretation. I know. I had to practice that sentence a lot to get it right. But and so I have to really kind of dumb it down for me to understand. So I'm going to bring it down here. Okay. Let's imagine, like, what would it be like to function, to have a body that functions in a different dimension? Well, let's see. We all live in a 3D world. And I know science people, the superstring theory, and there's actually, you know, four dimensions if you had time and then all these other dimensions. But, you know, come on. We know length, width, height, you know, that's we operate in three dimensions. I can move this way, I can move this way, I can move this way, I can go up and down, okay? And so we live in this three-dimensional world. But if you will, just imagine with me for a second what it would be like if there was a two-dimensional world that all they knew were two dimensions. They knew length and they knew width, but they knew nothing of this third dimension that people call height. Never heard of the concept. Can you imagine that? Like a 2D world. I'm going to show you what that might look like. Imagine this here is a person, right? Living in this two dimensional world. Okay. And so you have this person and it's just, he's flat. Okay. And then this is the world, right? It's just the stage is the world. It's just totally flat. And this person is living in this two dimensional world. And this person could move this way and this way and this way and this way and only see in those directions. Couldn't see up or down or anything like that. Okay. Can you imagine that just with me? A two dimensional world. Now imagine if you, three dimensional brother and sister, went into a two dimensional world. You would freak people out. right? People would be, they would not know what to make of you. Like, cause you could lay on the ground and they'd be like, oh, he's just like one of us, right? And then what you could do is you could just go, you know, I think I'm gonna go up. And you just do this. And all your two-dimensional friends would be like, where did he go? I have no idea. He was here just a second ago. I know. What? Wherever? And you'd be like right next to them, right? But you just stepped into another dimension that they know nothing of, right? And what if the two-dimensional world goes, I'm gonna hide from this weird three-dimensional guy. So he put himself in this room, right? And there's a carpet right here. And imagine this is a, you know, there's a room and he's inside that room. And your three-dimensional friend, you know, you're over here and he's like, you can't come into this room. And you're like, well, okay, I think I'll just do this, right? And you step up here. And then you appeared, right? To the two-dimensional world, it would look like the people over here, like, where did he go? We have no idea. And the people in the room would be like, how did you get in here? And you just appeared, right? Isn't that exactly what it would look like, right? Because we could operate in a different dimension. Now, back to our 3D world. What if there was another dimension right next to us, just a step away, right? That you could step into that would be totally different than the other dimensions. Like the scriptures tell us that there is a spiritual realm, another dimension, and you don't take a rocket ship to go to it. It is among us. It's among us. So that we have a spiritual realm that's basically about this far from us, all around us. Isn't that like angels around us and spiritual warfare and like all around us? It's not way up there. It's all around us operating in a dimension that's just one step away, right? And Jesus has this glorified body that's able to operate in dimensions we don't know about yet, spiritual dimension. And our body is going to be like his body. We're going to be fitted with this body that's suitable to live in dimensions that we don't yet know of. Isn't that fascinating? Yeah, I don't know. I think all the guys think that's cool, right? Right? Yeah. Any women think that's cool? I just think it's cool. Okay, but it still leaves the question like this, like, so what? What am I going to be doing in that body, right? I don't want to be bored in heaven, because even the best vacation, right? Even the best vacation, as long as it goes, at some point in that vacation, don't you kind of feel like, I sort of want to go home, right? Like, is heaven going to be like that? Like, it's so great and everything, but after a couple months, you're like, I just want to go home and, you know, just go home. And is it going to be like that? Are we going to, and no. We're going to be doing things in heaven that are going to be so spectacular. The last thing we're going to want to do is come back to this cesspool. Right? Like, that's the last possible thing that we're going to want to do. Now, I'm going to show you a list of things that the Bible says we'll be doing in heaven. This is not an exhaustive list. I think when we get to heaven and you look at the list I'm about to show you, you're going to be like, I can't believe that was your list. Because it's like 1,000 other things. But these are just the things that I know we're going to do because the Bible says we're going to do those things, okay? So the first one is this: we're going to be making music. Really good music, feasting, exploring beauty, living significantly, reigning with Christ, and worshiping. It's going to be really good. I want to go through each one of those things and just see how marvelous it's going to be. So that first one is we're going to be making music, making beautiful music. And do you like music?
Yeah.
I love music. I do. Everything's better with good music, right? Everything's better with you. If I had to give, I would love to have your gift. I'd love to be able to sing really good. I can't, but like I would love that. Everything is better with good music. Like, you know, that's why we have, you know, iPods, right? Like when I go running, if I don't have my iPod and if I run a couple miles and I don't have any music, I'm just like, this is hell, right? Right? But if I have music on, I'm just like, woohoo, you know, and I'm just, you know, I could go on and on, right? Like good music changes everything, right? Really good music. And we all have different types of music. Like you like, you know, one kind of music and you like another. And you can tell, you know how you can tell like where it's most evident that people have different styles of music? Hollister. Right? If you didn't go into Hollister, everybody under 30 is like, yeah. Everybody like 50 and above is like, ah, you know, like this is painful, right? Right? But there's one kind of music we can all agree on, right? Country. No. Just kidding. There's one kind of music we can all agree on, right? When someone sings beautifully, we say, she sings just like a what?
Angel.
See, that's the universal, like, great music, right? Angel music. We're going to be making music with the angels in heaven. It's going to be great music. Look in Scripture, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. It says, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne of the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice. They sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. This is such good music. To receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Can you imagine, like just one person that we know sings like an angel. Can you imagine having tens of thousands of angels singing? It's going to be beautiful music. And the thing that blows me away is the very next verse, that we actually are able to join in with them and we don't mess it up. Right? Like our voices are somehow going to fit. Like all these beautiful angels are going to sing and my crummy little voice like, hallelujah. And they're going to be like, that sounds great, right? Like it's going to act, verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13. Then I heard every creature, that includes you and me, in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and power forever and ever. We're going to be making just beautiful music, not just listening to it on our iPhones, but actually making it, right? Like making this fantastic music. And I love that. But I think that really, honestly, we don't even know what good music is. I mean, even if we heard good music at this point, we probably wouldn't even know, because we've gotten so used to garbage, we think the garbage is good. Like I checked out the charts this past week. I Googled it. And number one song this week is by Flo Rida. And a song called Right Round. Now, just let me just listen to the lyrics of this. Okay, here it is. This is number one. This is the best we got. Call up my homies that's home. Then pop in the night because it's meant to be ours. We keep a fadeaway shot because we ballin'. It's platinum patron that be ours. Does that, I don't know. I don't think that makes sense. Does that make sense to anybody? Is that the best? Really, seriously, that's the best we've got? That's number one? And then here's another chart topper from the same artist, Flo Rida. You'll probably, many of you know this one. Here it is. Here's the lyrics. What's pumping in my CD player? Party all night like Yayer. That's not a word, by the way. Shorty got a hand in the air. Make me want to take it. Dayer. I don't know if you caught the poetic subtlety there. He rhymed with the word player with non-words such as ayer, yayer, and dayer. It's genius. That is absolute genius. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not one of these guys that's like, this is Satan's workshop and the devil's music and all that. I think it's catchy. If I'm at the party and that song comes on, my hands are in the air, 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 right? Because I'm an idiot, right? But who else? Who else, right? Anybody else, right? Like, can we just admit to ourselves, it's crappy music, right? It is. It's just crappy music, okay? Number three on the charts this week. Number three on the charts this week is from an artist called Lady Gaga. So you'd expect big things, right? Lady Gaga. Fascinating, fascinating lyrics. Clearly a lot of work went into this. Can't read my, no you can't read my poker face. Pa, 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 poker face. Pa-pa poker face. I like this next line. Mum, 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 ma. Pa-pa-pa poker face. Pa-pa poker face. Mum, 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 ma. That's number three on the charts because we are pathetic. Okay? We don't even know good music anymore, right? We don't even know what we're... It's just... We're going to be so embarrassed when we get to heaven and the angels are going to be like, so what did you used to listen to? And you're like, Lady Gaga. Seriously? Just. One day, right? One day, we will. One day we're going to look back and laugh like I can't believe we used to like that stuff. It's such garbage. Now that we know what really good music is, because one day we're going to be making music with the angels and it's going to be beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, here's another thing. We're going to be feasting. What's better than good music? Good food, right? Eating. Yes. And you won't get fat either, right? Like that whole process. Yes. Eat whatever you want, right? So here we go. Feasting, chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19. I know heaven's going to be so awesome. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. Then the angel said to me, right, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. He added, these are the true words of God, that we are going to be at a wedding supper, which in biblical times was this massive days long, weeks long feast, just this beautiful, wonderful feast. And throughout scripture, we're told that in the kingdom of God, we're going to be feasting. So there's a passage here in scripture that says this in Luke chapter 13. People will come from east and west, north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. That there's going to be this feasting going on, like the best food ever. Can you imagine how good the food is going to be when you're sitting at the banquet table of the King of the universe? Right? Remember in chapter 22, the first couple of verses, the food that's going to be there? Well, just take a look at it. Revelation chapter 22. Some of the food that's going to be there and some of the beverage, right? Chapter 22 of Revelation, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Can you imagine that? Like just pure, pure water coming from the throne of God. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit in every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. That once again, I mean, our forefathers, they were able to eat of food like it was originally intended to be. But since the fall, none of us have ever actually tasted food like it's supposed to be. And one day we're going to be at the banquet table of the King eating food from the tree of life. That's going to be really good food. You know, we don't know what good food is, right? You know what our most popular food and beverages are? I looked this up this week. Six top, right? Hamburgers, hot dogs, french fries. Oreos, pizza, and soda. That's what we feast on. That, right? And I know, listen, that sounds good to us right now because we're living in a corrupt world, right? Right? And just admit this, that's poison, okay? Most of it's poison to our bodies, right? And it's gross, most of it, right? I mean, think about a hot dog. It's like intestines and yucky parts all squeezed into a tube, right? It's, what? We eat that? That's disgusting, right? Soda. I mean, the active ingredient in Coke is phosphoric acid. It will dissolve a nail in 4 days. I mean, it's bad stuff. Right? Oreos, right? Okay, Oreos, they'll make it into heaven. Oreos are in. But only the double stuff, right? Only the double stuff. Right. Single stuff goes right to hell, right? Who wants less stuff? Why do they even make that, right? So, but here's the point, right? Here's the point, right? We're so used to eating garbage here that it actually feels like that's what's satisfying to us. We have no idea what food is actually even supposed to taste like. But one day we're going to be at the banquet table of the King of the universe eating food from the tree of life. And it is going to be the best feasting ever. We will never in our lives be sitting at that banquet table thinking, man, I wish I had a hot dog. Right? Great food. Feasting. Does this sound good so far?
Yeah.
It gets better. Feasting, making music. Here's the other thing. Exploring beauty. Exploring beauty. Like most of us, right? All of us, we appreciate beauty. We love exploring, right? Like what I loved when I first moved here is going up in the Superstition Mountains and like kind of clearing a mountain and looking and going, oh my gosh, there's just mountain upon mountain upon mountain. It's beautiful, right? And one of my concerns about heaven has always been, what happens when you're there for a really long time and you've seen everything? Like, then what do you do? Because you still have eternity, right? Is there anything left to explore at that point? And as I'm reading scripture, it's like, no. There is going to be continuous, unending opportunities for discovery and exploration that are so beautiful. I mean, let's just talk about the beauty for a second of the things that we'll be able to see. For instance, back in Revelation chapter 21, God intends to make this new creation beautiful for our discovery. Verse 18, the wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation of the city walls were decorated. Why don't you underline it? Decorated with every kind of precious stone. That God makes this new creation, he decorates it for beauty. The things that we see here in this fallen creation are so less beautiful than the things that will be in that new creation. So the beauty of the exploration will be fantastic. But then there's this, right? It's going to be unending opportunities for discovery, because the thing that makes the whole new creation so beautiful is the presence of God is there, filling the entire universe with his glory. It says this in chapter 21, verse 11. That it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. The presence and the glory of God is not going to be this thing inside the new creation. It's like this ball in the corner that we all kind of go, No. The glory of God is going to permeate everything in the new creation, making everything just unfathomably beautiful. I don't even know if that's a word, but I just made it up. Unfathomably beautiful, glorious, wonderful, unending opportunity to explore, because the greatness of God is unending. It says this in Psalm 145. It says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. It's unending. We're going to have this listen, for those that like to explore, the new creation is the final frontier forever. This beautiful opportunity for exploration. So we're making really good music. We're eating the best of food. We're exploring beauty, and we're living significantly. Chapter 22, verse 3 of Revelation. Chapter 22, verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. Yeah, amen. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city. Now check out what we'll be doing. His servants will serve him. We'll be serving the King of the universe. Serving the King of the universe. I mean, just incredibly meaningful work. The best boss ever, right? Who's your boss? The King of the universe. Oh, that's a pretty good boss, right? And doing this work, this serving him, will be the thing that we've been wired by God. He created us. He wired us to serve him in a particular way. And when we're serving the King of the universe as we've been wired to do, it'll be like you're finally doing that thing that you just so passionately love to do for the King of the universe. Have you ever, you know what it is in your life? Like something where, like, when you do it, the hours go by like minutes and you can't believe you've been doing it that long because it's just so awesome. Like I was talking to somebody last night. He's like, yeah, you know, I go to work and that's okay. But when I get behind my wood shop and I start carving things, man, just hours go by and it just seems like seconds. And imagine in heaven, you're uniquely serving the King of the universe as he made you to serve. You're going to be absolutely in your sweet spot doing that thing that you were made to be doing. And it's going to feel so natural and so good and so significant. Most of us don't like getting up and going to our jobs. 52% of us feel like our jobs are insignificant. 42% you don't like your boss. Hardest job in voted the hardest job in America. You know what it is? School teacher? Close. Lumberjack. I don't know why that is. I always thought that would be a really cool thing, but apparently not. Really, really hard work. But when we're in heaven, man, we're gonna be doing the thing that God made us to do. This is and just be so in our sweet spot. It's so significant and so satisfying, right? And also, not only the work is so significant, but it's there's a sense in which we will be actually reigning with Christ. Reigning with Christ. I mean, it's such a strange concept, but look at it in Scripture, Revelation 22, verse 5. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. There will be no more light. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign, we will reign forever and ever. Like, you ever wonder, man, when I get to heaven, am I going to be sort of like the low man on the totem pole? There's going to be like millions of people, and I'm going to be in the back, and we're trying to, you know, like, what, you know, that's not the biblical picture. The biblical picture is you're actually going to be reigning with Christ over the creation, which is makes perfect sense when you read Scripture. That's how we were originally created to be. Adam and Eve are made and they're told to rule over what? The birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, the animals that are along the ground. Now that rain is going to be restored in the new creation. You and I, we're going to have this tremendously significant work just right in our sweet spot, serving the Lord and actually reigning over the creation. What an awesome job you're going to have, right? What an awesome, we're going to love getting up and going to, you know, to work in the morning or whatever. You're doing exactly what God made us to do. Living significantly, reigning with Christ, feasting, making great music, exploring beauty, and of course, we'll be worshiping. Great worship, right? And I want you to see this again from Scripture. So go ahead and look at Revelation. Let's look at chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. Worship. Revelation 19, 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns." Worship is intended to be just like this passion, wonderful, great God. How is loud peals of thunder? Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself beautiful. It's going to be fantastic worship. Great worship together, right? And the voices are going to be angelic, right? And the preaching is not going to be from some middle-aged dude in jeans that's never been there, but from the glorious Lord. I'm going to be the first guy out of a job, right? The glorious Lord of the universe. There won't be any stage. There'll just be a throne. And we won't need any microphones, and the campus will never be under construction, and you know the program will be printed in color, and it'll be great, right? Like worship is going to be awesome, right? And here's the thing. Like, if that doesn't sound that good to you yet, it's because you're not that close to Christ just yet. If I can just speak frankly, right? Like when I didn't really know Christ that much, and my wife used to drag me to church, I used to hate it. I mean, I used to just like put up with it, like, oh, this music is terrible. And the message, I mean, come on, as long as he's just like exactly on time, but do not go 1 minute over. And you know, it's like, I just didn't like it. And I'd look over in this sort of the front couple rows, right? These people were totally into it. I'm like, what is with those people, right? And then I started getting to know Christ and love him. And man, the closer I got to Christ, the more this time is just sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Like, I just can't wait to get together with God's people and worship. Lift up our voices together and pray together and hear the word of God together. And this time gets sweeter and sweeter. And the closer you get to Christ, and we're in the new creation, we're in the presence of God, there will be nothing closer, right? In that place, you're going to so want to worship. It'll be such a natural, wonderful thing, and the worship will be fantastic. You're going to want to show up early and get a front seat. It's going to be great. See, these are the things we're going to be doing. We're not going to be playing a harp or playing golf forever, right? We're going to be making beautiful music with the angels. We're going to be feasting on the best food from the tree of life. We're going to be exploring beauty like we've never seen it before. Unending exploration of God's wonder and beauty. Every day is going to be, man, it's beautiful. We're going to be living significantly, using our God-given gifts to serve the King of the universe and reigning over creation, and then coming together and worshiping the King and having the best worship services possible. Doesn't that sound better than Gilbert? Right? Does everybody want to go there?
Yes.
All right, it's going to be awesome. Let me just do a couple real quick applications here. One is this. Listen, when you understand how great the end is, you can kind of get through anything in the middle, right? Some of you, you've gone through some really hard stuff. Together as a church, we're going through some hard stuff, right? But God is going to bring us through. And one of the things that encourages me is being able to look all the way to the end, look to the future and go, you know what? There's this future awaiting me that's so beautiful. And when I begin to put my eyes on the end, well, the things of this world grow strangely dim, right? And you can begin to get through and just have hope in hard times. And then some of you, you feel like you possibly could be facing death soon. Some of you, I know because I pray for you. Some of you, you're going to the doctor soon and there's something that's shown up. There's a lump or there's something that showed up in a test and you're sitting here and you're really kind of afraid. And I would just speak to you as a brother and just say this. You don't need to fear death.
It's actually, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, death is just a stepping into the spiritual realm, the new dimension where you'll have an imperishable body and a beautiful future with the Lord of the universe. You don't need to fear death. And the last thing I would say is this. Don't miss out. Because if you don't know Christ, the best you're ever going to see is Gilbert. Right? If you don't know Christ, you're not going to ever enter into that new creation, that new heavens and the new earth. There is a way, right? And Jesus is really clear. He says this. Jesus says this. He says, Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. And it says this in 1 John chapter 5. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you've not yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your risen Savior, do it today, because there is one way into the new kingdom, the heaven, the new heaven, the new earth, the kingdom of God, one way, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to give you the opportunity right now, right now, to just place your faith in Jesus. So would you just pray with me? Father, we thank you so much that you have given us this description of what it's going to be like, this new heaven and new earth, this new creation. And God, we thank you that you didn't just leave that out of the story and make us wait. God, I'm so glad we have that picture now. It gives us hope in the difficult things we're going through. It enables us to not fear death. But yet, Lord, your word is clear. There is a way. There is one way, and that way is through faith in Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. God, I pray that every single person in this room, God, would hear that message personally right now. There wouldn't be a single person that would leave this room not sure of their salvation, not sure where they'll be going, but every one of them clear that Jesus is their Savior, that Jesus died for their sins on that cross, that he rose from the dead victoriously, and through faith in him, he is the way to eternal life. God, I pray that everybody here would choose Jesus. Father, we thank you for your glory and your grace. In his mighty name we pray. Amen.